But we all, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Thus far the reading from God's Word. As we said before, the scripture to which we direct your attention in this morning is this 18th verse of 2 Corinthians 3. The apostle begins, "We all, beholding as in a glass, we all." Not merely there for a few, a certain great one would climb the mountain of prophecy and receive some flashes, some rays of the glory of the Lord. To whom all the people would look up as to the seer, the prophet of the old dispensation. But we all, not simply some, as the Pentecostals would have us believe, but we all, the poor as well as the rich, the small as well as the great, the men of low degree as well as those of high degree, the laymen as well as the office bearers. We all, no exception, every one of us, behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord, and we are changed into that same image as by the Spirit of the Lord. This, beloved, is the glory, the exceedingly great riches of the church and the new dispensation. It was different in the old dispensation. Then it was a certain great one who, led by the Spirit of Christ that was in him, would ascend the mountaintop of prophecy, and from that vantage point would look over and beyond the horizon and see the Son of Righteousness before it had risen. And that prophet would receive, as it were, in his countenance flashes and rays of the glory of the Lord. and descending from that mountaintop of prophecy, he would proclaim to the people in the darkness of the valley below that soon this Son of Righteousness would arise with healing in its wings. We have a beautiful symbol of that, beloved, in the moon. The moon has no light in itself. It is a reflection of the glory of the sun. And if in the darkness of the night you see that moon, you are assured that presently the sun will rise, because the sun is there and reflects itself in that moon. That's the way it was in the old dispensation. Today, it is different. We all now behold the glory of the Lord that has become a reality, provided that we look into that glass with open face. This, stated in a few broad lines, beloved, also gives us the context of this text. Paul, the inspired apostle, writes of a veil upon Israel's countenance or face. And when Moses descended from the terrible Mount Horeb, he had the two tables of the law in his hands, and his face was full of glory. What a beautiful symbolism, beloved. His face full of glory, and the tables of the law in his hand, because that glory upon Moses' face is typical of the glory of God's covenant and promise, which soon would break through the haze of the law of the old dispensation. But Israel could not stand to look upon that face of Moses. If only Israel prepared, had understood that sign, that the glory of the Lord would presently be fulfilled through the fulfillment of the law, all then would have been well. If only they had begged the man of God to pray for them, that they might look upon that glory on Moses' face. But such was not the case. Israel could not stand to see that glory on Moses' face. You know? And now notice, in the context of these words, that the inspired apostle transfers that veil that was on Moses' face He transfers that veil to the heart and mind of Israel. That was the trouble. Israel's heart was covered. It was because of the darkness and the blindness of their heart and mind that they could not see the glory. And they begged the man of God to put a veil over his face. So it is with Old Testament Jewry unto this day. Notice, beloved, that when Moses comes down from the mount with his face full of glory and the tables of stone in his hands, that when he puts a veil over his face, the glory is gone. And all that is left is a law in the hands of Moses. That's the way it is with Old Testament Jewry. They read the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, but they see not the glory of the Lord. Hardness and blindness of heart characterizes them. And that's true of carnal Israel throughout the ages. We must stand before this glass, this mirror, with open face. The veil must be removed from our hearts. If the veil is not removed, we will never see the glory of the Lord. You see? Nevertheless, we read in verse 16, when it shall turn, read that this way, beloved. Nevertheless, when it shall be turned, it's passive, to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. The Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We'll come back to that in due time. And then follows our text. But we all, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We call your attention to this Word of God under this theme. Changed from glory to glory. Changed from glory to glory. First, by what? What is the means by which this change is effected? Secondly, how? How through these means does this change take place? The answer is in the text, with open face. And notice finally with me, beloved, this change by whom? Even by the Spirit of the Lord. The text itself, beloved, is very clear. But but we all with open face beholding as in a glass. You understand, beloved, that the expression beholding as in a glass, which in the original constitutes one word, that expression beholding as in a glass does not mean that we see ourselves in that glass. When you stand in front of a mirror, then you see yourself reflected in that glass, in that mirror. That's not the idea of the text. The idea of the text is that we see something else in that glass. What we see in that glass, beloved, is the glory of the Lord. That's what we see. What is this glory of the Lord, therefore? We ask that in the first place. Surely, the Lord is glorious as the eternal Son of God. It's important, beloved, that we say that in this text that will presently become very clear. The Lord here is surely the eternal Son of God. He it is who spoke of himself, "I and the Father are one." And, "Before Abraham was, I am." Jesus does not say, "I am, I was." "Before Abraham was, I am." He is the eternal Son of God, co-eternal, and co-essential within the Trinity with the Father and the Spirit. And he is the Lord of glory. Glory is his in the eternal, infinite sense of the word. He's full of glory, good and beautiful, full of grace and truth. Glory, you see, is the emanation. The revelation and manifestation of the virtues of God. That's glory. That's glory. An eternal Son is all glorious because within the Trinity he is the expressed image of the Father. All God's being and life, all his majesty and power, all his divine perfections and goodness are all revealed in the Son. Within the Trinity, the eternal Son is the revelation of the living God. He is the Lord of glory, the eternal Son. But he's also glorious, beloved, as the mediator. Yes, It is true that that eternal Son came to manifestation through Christ's manifestation in his flesh and blood. Christ spoke divine words of eternal life. Christ performed divine works of life and glory. And Christ is as mediator, the Lord of glory, because he possesses in his human nature the life of God. O beloved, not as Moses in the old dispensation, the glory upon Moses' face was only temporary. Just for a while. It was only skin deep. When Moses had been down from the top of the mountain for a while, that glory on his face faded. And presently it passed away. When Moses ascended the mount, and had he left that veil over his face, the glory of God would never have settled upon his face. But when Moses came upon the top of the mount, in the presence of God, he removed that veil. And then the glory of God settled upon his face and reflected from the same. But Moses' glory was only for a while. It did not come upon Moses' face from within, from without. It's different with the mediator. I told you before, beloved, that it is important that we understand that this Lord of glory in this text is the eternal Son of God. He is the eternal Son of God coming to our flesh and blood in the likeness of sinful flesh. But because he is the Son of God, therefore his glory as mediator did not come upon him from without, but from within. All his thinking, all his willing, all his desires, all his desires, all his activity was in perfect harmony with the living God who had sent him. Understand? Oh, beloved, this does not mean that Jesus as man became God. That is blasphemy. That's the wicked view of the modernist. And if that be true, beloved, then you don't have any God. All you have is man. No God. But Jesus, in his human nature, possesses the life of God according to the measure of the creature. As such, he thinks as God thinks. He wills as God wills. He desires as God desires. He is the perfect servant of Jehovah. That's the way it was in his state of humiliation. And now, as the mediator, he is the Lord of glory in the most wonderful, inconceivable sense of the word. You see, beloved, Christ ascended to heaven. And there he is seated in the right hand of God. Oh, it is true that during his state of humiliation, he lived as creature perfectly the life of God. It's true. But in the state of humiliation, beloved, he was like unto us in all things, sin excepted. Then he was weak, as we are weak. Then he was mortal, as we are mortal. Then, if I may use the word, he was dieable, as we die. Then he was subject, not to sin, he was holy. But he was subject to all the results and the ravages of sin. Now he's above it all, in heavenly glory, in the Father's right hand. And as he stands eternally, everlastingly, before the Ancient of Days, there, before the throne of God, he is transformed from moment unto moment, from glory to glory. This, beloved, is the glory of the Lord, whereof the text speaks here in this word of God. Secondly, still in my first point, that glory of the Lord is now revealed in a glass. We read of a glass here. Then, in the hereafter, we shall see face to face. I can't conceive of that, can you? I can't form a picture of it. Can you understand, beloved, that you will live forever? Can you understand that? Speak of 1,000 years, speak of 1,000,000 years, speak of 1,000,000,000 years, speak in terms of time, and I can grasp it. Speak in terms of the heavenly beyond me. I don't understand it. Can't. Then we shall see face to face that Christ, that Lord of glory, whom we love, we don't see him. And we cannot see him. He is in heaven. And heaven is not only far away from us, but heaven is altogether different. If God would place you and me in heaven, as we are, we wouldn't see a thing and we wouldn't hear a thing. You see? But now this glory of the Lord is revealed, we read, in a glass. We see in a glass. This glass, you understand. This mirror, that's the Word of God. The infallible Scriptures. This book. This book, this Bible, is this glass, you see. And in that glass is an image, or reflection, if you will, of the glory of the Lord that's in this glass. And we must understand that although this is but a reflection, nevertheless, this reflection is complete. It's full. It's complete. The entire Savior is revealed in this mirror. Therein also lies the difference between the old and the new dispensations. In the Old Testament, Christ was not yet, historically. Christ had not yet come. And therefore, in the Old Testament, his glory was not yet. But now, it is different. We don't see in this mirror. We don't see God's glory. We don't see the Lord's glory. We don't see the Lord's glory. The Lord's glory, as it were, is behind us in heaven. We don't see the glory. Even, beloved, when you stand before a mountain lake and you see the trees reflected in that lake, what you see in that lake, you don't see, those are not the trees. The trees are behind you. You see in that mountain lake a reflection of those trees. So, we don't see the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is behind and above us. But what we see in this mirror is that glory of the Lord reflected herein. That is what we have. And that glory of the Lord reflected in this glass is the means whereby this change of our text is affected and wrought. And that brings me to my second point. How? Through this means is this change from glory to glory, where we read here, beloved, how is that change affected? The figure in the text is very plain. We simply stand before the mirror of God's Word. And in that mirror is reflected the glory of the Lord, you see. And as you stand before that mirror, in which the glory of the Lord is reflected, we are changed into that same image reflected in the Word of God. That is plainly the text. Only, we must stand before this mirror with open face. The figure is always that of the man of God, Moses, in the Old Testament. He ascended Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai. And he had a veil over his face. But when he stood there in the presence of the living God, he removed that veil from off its face. And the result was that the glory of the living God settled upon his face as a reflection. Had Moses stood there with the veil over his face, the glory of God would never have settled upon it. Of course not. But because he stood there with open face, therefore, the glory of God settled upon his countenance. You see? Only, beloved, now we must forget the figure. Let the figure go. And now we must inquire into the spiritual meaning of this. What spiritually is Paul speaking of here? We must stand, you understand, before this mirror. Not with our physical, natural face. That won't do any good. We must stand before this mirror with the face of our heart. The glory and the brightness that settles then upon us is not a physical, a natural brightness, but it is a spiritual brightness. And the change that takes place within us is not a physical, natural change, but a spiritual change. The church must look spiritually into this mirror of the Word of God. You understand, beloved, that is in harmony with the context. Of course, Moses' face, that was his natural physical face. We know that. And the glory upon Moses' face was a physical, natural glory. But notice, then the apostle in 2 Corinthians 3 transfers this veil, you understand, from off Moses' face, and he transfers it to the heart and mind of Israel. By nature, this change from glory to glory is utterly impossible. It is. There is a veil, there is a covering upon our hearts and minds. There is. You see, beloved, the sinner is not a vacuum. He's not empty. The sinner is full. He's not empty. Darkness is not simply the absence of light. The lie is not merely that we don't speak the truth. Death is not simply that we don't live. The sinner is not a vacuum. He's not an emptiness. The sinner is full. He's full to the brim. He's full of darkness, evil, and corruption. The Bible teaches that. He is not subject to the law of God. He cannot be. Whatever he speaks, whatever he does, is all darkness and evil, spiritually. Oh, yes, he can speak natural truths. He knows all about that. 2 and 2 are 4. He knows that. He knows when the sun will rise in the morning and set in the evening. He can tell you that. But spiritually, he always speaks the lie. The dark, the covering of sin and evil is upon his heart and mind. And therefore, he does not understand the things that are of the Spirit, spiritually. You see? And this change from glory to glory is absolutely impossible for him. It can never happen. It can't. This mirror must be set before him. It is. It's preached to him in the preaching of the gospel. He must look into this mirror. And he understands what he reads naturally. That's one of the wonders of the Word of God, beloved. One of the wonders of the Word of God is its simplicity. Any child will tell you what the Lord demands of him. There are no secrets in Scripture for the sinner. He understands it fully. He must look into this mirror naturally. And when the Word is preached, and he looks into that mirror, beloved, then he draws that veil, that covering of darkness, ever more tightly upon himself. The more he looks into the Scriptures, the more he advances in the way and development of sin and evil and corruption. He wants no part of it. There's nothing in this glory of the Lord that appeals to him, that in any way attracts him. How then is this changed and affected from glory to glory? And the text says, with open face. With open face. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's what you read here. There's liberty. There's freedom. Freedom, beloved, means that we unhampered and unmolested can move about in the sphere to which we are adapted. That's freedom. The fish moves in the water. That is its sphere. The bird flies in the air. That is its sphere. For man, the sphere is covenant fellowship and the service of the living God. That is the sphere to which he was created, for which he was created. And now, the veil is lifted from the face of his heart. He looks at this mirror and he receives the preaching of the word with open face. The heart no longer covered. He sees Christ as he never saw him before, as with the eye of faith. Never saw Christ that way before. Never. He looks into this mirror and he sees two things: his own emptiness and Christ's fullness. He sees his own sin and Christ's beauty and perfection and holiness. That's what he sees. And as he resides with that open face of his heart under the preaching of the word, he's transformed from glory to glory. It's important, beloved, that the glory of the Lord be proclaimed in all its fullness. We must not have any common grace here. We must not have any 3 points of 1924 here. We must not have any presentation that the sinner is, after all, not that bad. That's killing. That's demoralizing and devastating. When you're not that bad, then in that measure you don't need the glory of the Lord either. Devastating. But now, as we look with open face into this mirror, we advance from glory to glory. That is, we grow in the knowledge of our sin. We become ever more and more evil. The badness of the human heart, beloved, is increasingly revealed to us. And as we grow in the knowledge of our sin and of ourselves, we grow in the longing to be like unto him. We want to reveal the glory of the Lord, beloved, as it radiates from the Christ. And that will presently happen in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings me to my third point. This change, by whom? How necessary, beloved. How imperative is this worker of whom we read here in this text? This change from glory to glory can never, never, never be affected by you and me. Never. Never. This covering of sin is not simply upon our face, then we could tear it off. This covering of sin, beloved, is upon our heart. And that heart we cannot reach. We cannot reach. We are conceived and born dead in sin and trespasses. Do you believe that? I don't ask you, beloved, whether you understand that naturally. I don't ask you, beloved, do you agree with me? I don't ask that either. Or do you agree with Scripture that the man is naturally conceived and born dead in sin. I ask you, beloved, do you believe that? Is that your personal confession and conviction? It must be. It must be. Then you will understand that this change from glory to glory takes place by the Spirit of the Lord. That's what you read. Who is he? The Spirit here, beloved, is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. As such, he is, first of all, the Spirit of God within the Trinity. He proceeds from the Father to the Son, and from the Son to the Father. And God's eternal, infinite covenant life takes place out of the Father, through the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. That's all we can say about that now. Secondly, he is the spirit of the mediator. He was a spirit of the mediator throughout his humiliation. Christ, the Holy Spirit, caused him to be conceived and born in the Virgin Mary, to suffer and die the infinite death upon the cross of Calvary. The Holy Spirit did that. And the Holy Spirit is now the Spirit of the risen, glorified Lord. Yes. All his wisdom and knowledge is from the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, the Spirit is the Spirit of the church. We read in the context, the Lord is that Spirit. That does not mean that the Lord has become a Spirit. But the Lord is that Spirit in the sense that he causes that Spirit to proceed from him out of the Father into the church. And by that Spirit, we are changed from glory to glory. That Spirit removes the covering from our heart, gives us spiritually an open face. As we reside under the preaching of the gospel, the Holy Spirit applies that word unto our hearts, causes us to grow in the knowledge of sin, and in the longing for his glory, beloved. Do we understand? Confess then your sins daily. See your emptiness in the light of his fullness. And long to be even as he is. And beloved, then presently, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is going to change. Now the Lord of glory is behind and above us, reflected in his word. And then, beloved, we will turn around. And this Bible will no longer be needed. There'll be no Bibles in heaven. We don't need them. Because then we're going to turn around. And we're going to see him face to face. And be able to see him face to face, because we shall be as he is.
to be transformed forever and ever into that same image, the glory of the Lord. That, beloved, is heaven. That will be glory for you and me. Do we understand? That's the way it is. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank thee, Lord, for thy truth and word. Forgive our sins in the blood of thy Son, our Lord, and bless thy truth and word unto our hearts and minds. Dismiss us now with thy blessing. Be with us this evening and hear us for thy name's sake. Amen.